Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Richard Hullahan, CEO of Polarian Imaging. POLX is ticker. Richard, thanks for joining me.
Good to be with you again, Justin.
Yeah, and do you know what? The more I read about your company, the more I think, and I've just said this before we came on, I thought, wow, you're in a very unique position at the moment because you have probably the best tech in an area where it's really needed. In fact, when I was going through your slideshow, I was looking at the Oxford Uni COVID study, and CT scans and MRI couldn't pick up the lung issues that people were suffering with long COVID. And yet you've got this tech now going towards FDA approval, and it's just a massive market. Your company could be quite big, couldn't it?
Yeah, I think so. This is a bit, you know, the history of medicine and medical imaging, right, is people trying to provide clinicians and patients with new tools and or the best tools to try to get to the bottom of anything in particular. Yeah. So that there's heavy lifting from a physics engineering point of view that goes on in the development of any new technology. But then you reach a point in the process where this requires a close engagement with clinical medicine because you have to intimately understand the thing that you're trying to observe, right? It's no longer a physics question. It's what exactly are we trying to do here? And I think historically, people have thought of the evolution of medical imaging as new technologies replacing old ones. But in fact, if you look at what happens, it's not that. It's that the tool gets optimized for an objective. And in fact, all of these technologies are out there now trying to help clinicians, and we're the latest one, and I think the best one for pulmonary medicine.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing is, when you keep saying there's unmet medical need there, and I thought in my head that phrase sort of stuck recently, and I thought, well, you can't treat a patient properly if you're not using the best technology. And if the technology you have at the moment is not picking up like issues like you said, COVID, then you've got to use the best technology. And like I said, yours is probably the best. So, I mean, like I said, when you did say recently that you will see polarizers in most hospitals, I thought, well, yeah, in fact, when you think more about that, that's the obvious conclusion, is it? Because if you want to treat people properly, you've got to use the best equipment.
Well, I think if you were to, and we have perhaps often wished that there wasn't a GoPro camera somewhere hovering over everyone's shoulder all the time so that you could rewind these tapes and look at them. But at various points in history, it's no secret that, you know, really important and qualified people have watched new technologies come into market and wondered how they would find a place, what their use would be, how many of them there would be. You know, there was a time when people thought that there would only be a dozen MR machines in the world because CT already existed and the problem of seeing inside the human body was solved. Mm. Well, it wasn't, right? And so these medical problems are so complicated, and doctors need answers to questions. I think the other thing, of course, that happens is the questions get better, right?
Yeah.
So I see us as filling a gap. Pulmonary medicine was really left behind compared to the benefits that CT and MR brought to almost all the rest of medicine. So yeah. we're here to help.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's start with some questions. And these are shareholder questions. And this is the first one. And it relates to the recent news, actually, a new system order from the University of British Columbia, who, of course, Children's Hospital is a major pediatric research and teaching hospital. And someone just simply said, well, this is an additional order of your units. That's got to be good news, hasn't it?
Sure. It's wonderful news. They're also part of a cluster of institutions that we now have working in pediatrics. Cincinnati Children's Hospital in Cincinnati is a leading researcher in cystic fibrosis. SickKids in Toronto, their companion. We've now added BC Children's. Those guys collaborate like crazy, pushing the frontiers of trying to use this tool in that particular segment of medicine. It's a wonderful thing.
Yeah. And someone says, do you see this happening more often, sort of multiple installs in a single location?
Yeah, if you look at the history of this, so I'll just quickly say already that we have a handful of sites that have more than one machine. Mm-hmm. Duke, of course, more than one. The University of Virginia has multiple systems. Cincinnati has multiple systems. So it's not unusual. And of course, the high end of academic medicine in the U.S. these days are really in many cases, the hub of a hub and spoke kind of system where these guys are actually reading or providing services for a network of hospitals in a regional geography. So this is not unusual. It's something that we expect, and we already have a handful of cases of how this works.
Okay, good. Next question is, how would you gauge the level of interest in the pipeline, especially after you get FDA approval? Because I assume you can't take pre-orders, can you, until that clearance has happened? Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. That is not allowed, but we can. So we're freely and openly using best practices from multiple kind of vertical industrial kind of collaborators in and around us. One of them, of course, are the big manufacturers of imaging equipment themselves, who have kind of well-known techniques for calling on institutions and presenting information. The pharma guys actually use a different technique where they have independent knowledge based channel organizations where they're able, allowed, and encouraged to present information to clinical practitioners about the technology. But the presentations are not about selling equipment. They're about exposing people, educating people, presenting cases to people. I think our role in many ways is to show how the technology can be used on patients and cases of the day. Inevitably, when we meet people, the question as the meeting unwinds is, how will this affect some patient that is on your calendar this afternoon? Mm-hmm. And so it's our mission to kind of present that information so that when they do go back to their office and say, gosh, if only I had the Polarian system, I could get to the bottom of this more quickly, right?
Yeah.
So we're able to go out. We gauge then interest by the people who accept appointments, the people who participate with us in advisory board discussions. It's pretty easy to find out how interested someone is when you present the case.
Yeah. And what is that? Is that level of interest quite high? Are you impressed by that?
Yes, absolutely. People, I think we constantly have this feeling of, hurry up, right? What's taking so long, right? So yes, absolutely.
So you see some demand there. And how long will it take, for example, after FDA approval, say someone orders on that, the next day, how long does the system take to get it up and running and shipped?
Yeah, so the beauty of the underlying technology here is we're able to build these pretty quickly. Until now, as you would guess, we build them in small lots. We do use contract manufacturers who are skilled in the art of doing this. Those guys have plenty of facility and capacity to grow with us going forward, but we can assemble these systems quickly. The components inside the system are fairly commercial components. There's not a lot of custom manufacturing going on inside the machine, really. It's about what we do, not what we do it with. So we can scale quickly.
Yeah. Next question is, how are things progressing with the FDA? Are you in contact with the FDA, or after submission, and is it just basically you submit it and there's no dialogue from there, or is it constant dialogue? What happens?
No, we are intensely engaged with the FDA. No, there is a continuous weekly back and forth with them on questions and answers having to do with the submission. I mean, you could kind of squint your eyes and imagine a drug device combination submission is everything that the FDA does in one submission, right? Mm. There's the drug side of the house, which is CDER, the device side of the house, which is CDRH. Those guys spend all day, every day in their own domains. But then along comes a drug device combination like us, which has everything in it. Mm-hmm. And so even though the table of contents and the requirements are highly prescribed for a submission, that doesn't mean that what's inside the submission is anything that those guys know a lot about. So there are intense levels of questions from across the entire submission, from shortly after we submit it until approval.
Well, that's quite reassuring, because it's more collaborative and them seeking information rather than an exam. Like, you'd sit an exam and you've got to wait 6 months for the results. So it's more, you're in discussion all the time then.
Yes, and I think that's the good version of the story. I think if you remember, and we spoke about this in an earlier study, the FDA also has the opportunity, if they wish, to request an orientation meeting before they start the review process. Mm-hmm. And they did with us. And happily, we had the entire team on the call, and we went through the submission, went through the technology, and even so far as bringing them absolutely current on everything that we're doing with the technology presently at sites in a research kind of way, even though that material isn't, strictly speaking, in the submission, it gives them a great context within which to review the submission. So we were just thrilled about that. It went really well. And so, you know, at the end of the day, regulators regulate. That's their charter, and that's what they do. But in terms of our ability to present this and surround it comprehensively with a context and let them ask any question they wished, it was a wonderful way to start the review.
Yeah. And so, for example, like that study that your Oxford University did, and, you know, on long COVID and still doing, would they know about that? Would you?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, we presented that. We presented that. So, they do.
Okay, good. What work, if any, is being done to get approval in other territories outside the U.S.?
Yeah, well, our backstory and the history of Polarian has been call a milestone, raise money to accomplish it, repeat, right? That's kind of how we got here. Mm-hmm. And in that context, our prior raise was simply to get us to approval. So we've not begun the process of looking outside of the U.S. market until just now, right? The most recent raise we did, mm-hmm. Specifically in the use of funds slide, said we will begin the process of considering which territories in what sequence, and also begin the process of evaluating how to get any of the rest of our technology in the development pipeline into an approved status. So that's the pulmonary vascular disease techniques, the gas exchange and red blood cell stuff. All of that, we've now begun the process of queuing it for how we get that through approval and commercialized, and picking which territories to address next and how.
I see. Do you have any updates, or is the progress going on with the COVID study at Oxford University?
So the initial small study is complete. Mm-hmm. I believe at some point here shortly, it will wind up being published in a pretty significant journal. So that's no mean feat. Mm-hmm. The follow-on study is in the process of getting organized and funded in the grant mechanism there inside the UK. And we've made no secret of the notion that we're supporting the researchers there in their endeavors to obtain that.
Yeah, but when I read that, I thought that was amazing that, you know, your technology picked up issues that MRI, CT couldn't pick up. That is astounding, isn't it?
Well, I think it's back to our kind of opening comments about tools for purpose, right?
Yeah.
There are simply limitations in other technologies to what exactly it is that they're visualizing. And that's not to say, and I never underestimate, there are a lot of really smart people working on how to surround existing technologies, and you see ample evidence of this even in lay press, people trying to surround something with AI try to infer or compute or into something that isn't present in the native kind of direct image, but may probably be there. And that includes, you know, even things like combining it with the content of your electronic patient record and doing some educated statistical kind of opinion guessing at that point. But I think at the end of the day, medicine would always rather use a quantitative direct observation than anything inferred or intuited, right? If you can directly quantitatively reproducibly observe something, why would you do anything else, right?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, and last question here. You recently mentioned that you see polarizers in most hospitals over the next 10 years. If you received Hatch-Waxman protection, would that mean Polarion would supply most hospitals or have some kind of relationship with this, most hospitals? How logistically would that work? So Hatch-Waxman is 5 to 7 years, isn't it? Is that right?
Yeah, it is. And so I think you remember that we are an adjunct to MR technology.
Yeah.
And so I think the way that you would see this unfolding is exactly the way that we've explained it. And that is the high end of academic medicine first, because that's where discovery and applications are developed, clinical pathways are sorted out, and all of that is shared among medical experts and across all of medicine. And then that always percolates kind of downwards into the healthcare infrastructure, into smaller places. Still have to have an MR machine. So in that regard, our way forward is gated by the presence of MR systems. But even there, I think you can see evolution occurring in a classic product sort of way. We figure out ways to make the technology more accessible. That usually is putting products on the classic smaller, better, faster, cheaper pathway, making them better suited to ubiquity. And of course, we, in our long-term vision of this movie, we see all of those things happening.
Yeah, yeah. And finally, you must be quite excited where you are now. I mean, because it's been, I don't know how many years, but you're getting towards the end game and commercialization. It's quite exciting as you approach.
It is. It's exciting both on the technology side, because we see continued discovery and researchers sharing results. Remember, most of our users belong to the Xenon 129 MRI Clinical Trials Consortium, where they share results back and forth and techniques and collaborate on clinical problems. It's just a wonderful vehicle, among academic researchers. So it's apolitical and agnostic. It's just the best possible way for information to get shared. And then as we get more and more systems out there, this ability for like institutions working on the same clinical problem. Right now, many sites are working on different clinical problems. And so it's always great to see people sharing this information and developing the application as we go forward here.
Marvelous stuff. Richard, it's good to chat to you as always. And hopefully we'll catch up in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much.
Yep. Thanks for your time, Justin, always.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.